Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I gotta say, I know we didn't talk about this last week, but I'm just happy that this recent Splatfest, family and Maria finally won again, and I just gotta say, the power of friendship overcomes family. I love that line from Marina.
I was so busy. I'm not gonna lie to you, Will. I was so busy last weekend that by the time I remembered about the Splatfest, it was because I was looking at the results. My weekend was not kind to me because it a long story. But yeah, I'm gonna pull a Tyler and say that I did not lose because I did not officially make my pick nor defend it. So. Oh, and speaking of whom, Tyler is here as well.
And lest we forget what Will said in our chat. Will was originally Team Family, but because he's a Marina obsessor, he changed his side. So that's we got to put that all out there. We got to make sure that's clear for everyone. Why would I play that when Smash is right there?
Yeah, obsessing about a character, Tyler. It's not like you've done that before. No.
No.
No. Not at all. You don't have a pearl in your collection or anything.
Well, I mean, I'm a counterculture guy. No, I see the culture and I counter it.
Except when you lose, then you blame the culture and say it was rigged.
Yeah, that seems in line with somebody who's a counterculture fanatic.
Wow. All right, well, we got some fun things to talk about, including settling the score on a topic I have been waiting 84 years to settle. And yes, I realize I'm only 29, but we will get to that later. But now, it's time to discuss what have you been playing? I'll go first because I've honestly had such a week to where I've barely been able to play anything. Heroes, obviously, I've been playing because we are finally getting the Lagoose banner. We'll be talking about that later, but I'm very excited for it. And so I've been playing the other Tempest Trials, the Voting Gauntlet, and everything. And might I just add that I am shocked, I say, thanks for those who got that reference, that Gunthra made it to the end. Like, and she almost won the whole dang thing. I mean, I picked her.
Gunthra's, like, super popular. I don't know
why. I
didn't
realize that, though, because, I mean, she was. They hinted that she was going to have this big connection to your avatar, and then she dies. And
right.
It's like, okay. And then I picked her on a whim, and all of a sudden I'm in the finals against Fjorm. Like, okay.
Azura.
I got it confused. You're right. The other blue-haired girl. Or blue-colored. Whatever. Azura, yeah. Still, Gunthra. Who knew? I mean,
given the fact that the new Gunthra unit is actually pretty strong. I mean, the sword user Gunthra is, like, her stats. Holy moly.
Maybe.
Yeah, Will's right. She's super strong.
Yeah, but aside from that, I finally dove back into Smash Brothers tonight, and I am happy to say that as of my return, I am 3-0 in online play. I beat a Lucina, a Fox, and a Pit in that order. And I kid you not, I was honestly, you know, expecting a loss the first time because it had honestly been a while. I've been so busy with real life stuff and everything. I almost said real life stuff. Smash Brothers is real life, dang it. no, it's real to me. But I just hadn't had time, and so I went into the Lucina match thinking, okay, Lucina's usually if you play Lucina, you're actually got some good skill. I KO, it was a two-stock match. I KO her in like 15 seconds the first time. I kid you not, I hit her with a bow, and then I go in for my combo attacks, and then I kill her 5 seconds later. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, so she's gonna stop and like really get serious now, but I KO her 30 seconds later. Didn't lose a life, and I'm like, and I just realized I'm saying, and I'm like, a lot tonight, so I'm sorry. But I just straight up KO'd her. Granted, we were in the Game & Watch map, which is a little bit small, which can lead to some big, quick KOs. But this shouldn't have been that quick. Again, I am out of practice, or so I thought. And I just swatted her around, and I won. Then I faced a Fox, who you should always hate playing because of their blasters and everything. And I honestly had a pretty tough three-stock match with him, but then all of a sudden, I'm at like 100%+. He's on a fresh life, and I still KO him before he KOs me. So I beat him with two stocks, and then Pit. Ugh. I mean, I love playing as Pit. I hate playing against a Pit. They can be so annoying. And then I still school this kid. So 3-0, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Nice,
mean,
nice.
given what I know about Todd, I'm sure those players were, they were pretty bad.
Probably. They had to be. If they had to be.
I'm
If
just
they
messing with
if they
you. That
lost to
wasn't fun.
me.
You're supposed to get all angry and be like, "No, I'm great," and then I'd say, "Nah, you're trash." But no, you were just like, "No, yeah, they probably were bad."
But Tyler, I won a tournament with Ike.
That's what we were looking
No.
for. That's
Well,
more than that.
I like I said, I haven't played in like at least over a week, or if not more, because I've been trying to get together with you guys, and it just hasn't happened. So I just go into random arenas
I
or
can play
whatnot.
again, though. I'm back. I have good internet again.
Good. Maybe we could do it after the podcast tonight. We'll see. But I was fine with losing because I even went right to Link because I knew that was the character I was most comfortable with. Again, ironically enough, and I just was like dominating. I mean, I was making very few mistakes. Obviously, there were some things I couldn't control, but I just did really good, so I was really happy. And I mean, I'm almost sad to try and play you now because I know I'm gonna lose.
Well, it's funny that you say you like Link, because Ike is definitely a top tier in this game.
Oh, he can be, yeah, if you know how to use him.
Yeah, no,
So.
he is. Ike just is dominating the competitive scene right now.
Did you hear that Wolf is the most popular competitive character?
Yeah, I saw that. Probably at like the local level. I'm sure there's a lot of good Wolves. Wolves is really he's pretty strong, but I think Fox is better than him still.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to this weekend because I know I'm gonna have time to relax and I'll be playing a lot more Smash. I actually got a review code for a game for one of my other sites. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Metal Cat or something like that. But yeah, but it's an indie game, which of course I'm always up for supporting, so I'll have time to play that this weekend. But I look forward to actually relaxing and just having fun that way. So yay.
Well, I've also been playing a lot of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, as one would expect, and my quest to play every single character is going along pretty well. I'm putting my dream of being great with every character. I just realize is literally impossible. I mean, there's just too many characters to dedicate the time to learn all of their tricks, and then to be able to perform all of their tricks while remembering all other 73 characters' tricks is just not going to be achievable. So I've kind of been moving at a little faster pace. But I found two characters that I really, really love that I never expected to love, and those characters are Fox and Samus. And it's ironic because I'm really good with Samus, which I didn't expect. But Samus is probably my best character right now. I actually stink with Fox, but I love playing as him. He's so much fun. He's so aggressive. Like you just he, to play as Fox, you have to constantly be attacking, and I just think that's so much fun. I love trying to find the opening or create an opening, and people just start going in with all of his strong moves. He's a ton of fun, and Samus, I think, is the exact opposite, where you're really trying to zone people out. She has some good tools, like up close, if you're fighting somebody with a reflector, she can still hold her own. But I love both of those characters, and I've never used them in any Smash Bros. Game outside of, I guess I played as Fox a little bit on the N64, but that I really never I was too young to dedicate time to that game. But yeah, he's really,
Whoa.
really cool.
Yeah, I look forward to
Okay.
facing you in your Samus because I want to see how good you really are.
Oh yeah, no, you're not ready for it. You're absolutely like my Samus is nice. My older brother's pretty good, and I three-stocked his Mario with Samus. That's not a good matchup for Samus. Like I'm actually nice with Samus.
As for me, I guess I also trip on my hat, put my hat in as well. I also been playing Smash as well. I just recently finished up a Meta Knight and Game and Watches classic mode. And yeah, in case you want, I mean, personally for me, Ice Climbers, Game and Watch, and Roy are actually an easier route to achieve the 9.9 achievements on Smash achievement. So if you want an easy character to get that 9.9 difficulty, then yeah, those three I recommend. And alongside, obviously, because been more or less been on the spirit boards, just buying things at the shop, getting more music, and naturally, of course, can't wait for the new banners coming out tomorrow or today at the time of this recording, and also just some few things aside as well. I've been playing a bit of Overwatch, getting a new Ana skin, which I gotta say, I'm not sure if anyone has seen the whole hubbub about the new story of Overwatch, basically confirming another character's preference, if you will.
You can say it
And
will here, don't be afraid.
okay, so basically confirming another character's sexuality, and
Dude,
yeah.
I didn't tell you to say that. What the heck is wrong with you? I'm kidding entirely. Don't worry about it.
So yeah, so besides from Tracer, we have good old Daddy 76, which yeah, I just find it very odd. He is very alike to Dream Daddy. I'm not sure if anyone of you have played the game Dream Daddy before, but yeah, now that kind of makes sense. But there's a lot of debate going around. I'm not gonna. I have my own opinions, but eh, Daddy 76 now officially a daddy. Meh, I don't know. It's kind of funny if you ask me. And also some other things I've on the mobile front. I actually been playing a. I'm not sure if you guys have played this before back in the old days, but I've like, has anyone of you played Ragnarok?
No.
I feel like I've heard that game though.
Well, it seems to me there's been a kind of an age of like old classic coming to the mobile fronts now. I still remember playing Ragnarok back in the like back in my high school, junior high school days when I was like 8, 9, 12 years old, roughly about. Currently, right now, there is a mobile game called Ragnarok M Eternal Love, which is basically an Ragnarok Online, but onto the mobile devices. And gotta say, yeah, it really brings a whole lot of nostalgia if you play like the good old days of Ragnarok Online. And like again, cute characters, good RPGs, good class systems. If you love Ragnarok Online, I think it's maybe a good chance to try out the mobile version of it. I mean, yes, there are in-game purchases as usual of mobile games, but overall, the Ragnarok M is pretty much captures the essence of Ragnarok back in the high school days, back in the old days. So I don't know, definitely give a try if it's up your alley if you play Ragnarok back in the day.
All right. Well, I see we're in this interesting period because, now it's 2019. We're now waiting for the next big game to come out, and Will is almost gonna get his very soon with, Travis Strikes Back, No More Heroes. I don't know when mine is gonna be. It'd probably be March, maybe, with a certain game we're gonna be talking about soon. But I always hate these periods because it's like I don't know what my next game is gonna be. It's like, why? I mean, I hope it's not. And I don't mean this in the insulting way, but I mean, I hope it's not Fire Emblem because I would like there to be a game coming up between now and then. But
Right. Well, we don't even know when then is.
exactly. So, oh boy. Yeah, whatever. But though it's been a slow week, there has been some interesting news pieces out there. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, so let's get to the. Oh my gosh, did you guys see the Nintendo Direct? No! No, you didn't! It was a lie! Okay, I mean, I just wanted to get that out of the way. We were talking about it last week, and rumors that today was supposed to be a Nintendo Direct day, and it was a lie! So, that's why you don't believe rumors and leaks and speculation all the time. Isn't that right, Tyler?
I don't believe it all the time. I believe it when there's good evidence, and there was not great evidence for this outside of the fact that it kind of made sense there would be one coming up, but I never believed that there was going to be one on the 10th.
So that's your story, and you're sticking to it. So,
That's the re yes. But I hope that there's one next week. I really hope, because they've been releasing a lot of news, like kind of big news that usually isn't a direct, and yet we're not. It hasn't been in a direct. So I'm curious if they have a lot of like huge things that they want to show off, or if we're just gonna have to wait till February. We haven't had a real direct since September. That's a lot of time.
Really? Has it really been that
Yeah,
long?
it has. That first weekend or second week in September,
Yeah,
they had
because I
the
was a because I was a Philly that week. Right.
yeah.
Dang. It has been that long. No, wait, that's not true. We had the Smash Brothers Direct.
Yeah, but I said a traditional Nintendo
Okay,
Direct
traditional.
or a
Right,
true
sorry.
Nintendo isn't.
Right, that's fair. So, no, I agree. I feel that to really kick off 2019 like they should, and they're promoting it to be like a 2017 kind of a year. They definitely need a direct to start off well. I mean, I don't mind them waiting like 2 weeks. That's fine. Get out of the beginning of the year funk, but yeah, they need it soon. So we'll
I
see
just think
how
it's
it
interesting
goes.
that they gave Yoshi a release date, which I guess we talk about as our first news story.
Okay, fine.
Outside, yeah, I mean, Yoshi's Crafted World comes out March 29th. They tweeted that out. That's a big release date. And you know, they kind of casually dropped it alongside an awesome trailer.
Yes.
Did you guys watch that?
I did, I read the story it looks like it's really gonna be a fun little Yoshi adventure.
The overworld map like reminds me so much of Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, where they have like a lead up to one of the pieces of the, I forget what the rock was called, but some happy, super happy tree knockoff item that Bowser Jr. and Kamek try to steal. Off into pieces, and Yoshi's got to go collect them all. But it seems like each one's at the end of an island. It looked exactly like Donkey Kong to me.
But this was honestly one of the biggest pieces of news this week, in that, you know, this was a game that was supposed to come out last year. It was shown off in 2017, and then it was like, oh no, we have to delay it. It's still being worked on, and now it's here, and it looks adorable, much like Kirby's Epic Yarn. Which, on that note, Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn is coming out on 3DS again, which should die, like 2 weeks prior to that. So, if you like your, you know, hand-stitched adventures, March has got you covered. So, yeah, I'm excited for this just because it's a big release. And most importantly, it's a big release 2 months after another big release with Super Mario Bros. Deluxe U. It's coming out, 2 weeks' time? So
Super Mario Bros. U comes out next week, actually. January 18th.
A week at the time you're listening to this, hopefully. That's 2 months. So that's already better than what we got in like the first couple months of January, or sorry, a couple months of 2018, where we only had Kirby and the Bayonetta port. So,
and Celeste.
Okay, Celeste was multi-platform though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like Nintendo.
No,
exclusives.
I know what you meant. I was just trying to think that is.
But yeah, Celeste is great. Celeste is lies. Celeste is love.
Okay. I'm glad we got our Celeste's quota in for this episode.
I was going to make a joke here, but I'll let it slide. I'm seriously saying that, you know, this is a good move, because if they can, even if they don't go like, if you go like every other month, at least until like the really big releases start coming out, that's still okay, because they can, you know, do something, you know, less big, which we'll get to in a second, for like, say, April. But then, like, in May, they'll have, like, Fire Emblem Three Houses, and then that's the big release. And then June, they'll no doubt try and have something to coincide with E3. And then same with July. They might take August off, and then September through December, they'll have something just this big. So they need to keep the momentum going. So having Yoshi, of all things, and end March on and technically the end of the fiscal year, is a really big thing for them. So.
Yeah, Yoshi looks like it's going to be a lot of fun too. The Woolly World was critically adored. I have it, but I played a little bit of it. It was fun, but I really didn't get too far into it. But hopefully, this is kind of a return to form for the Yoshi series in more of a mainstream way. Because I really, all the Yoshi games since Yoshi's Island have been kind of weak. Like New Island for 3DS, solid, but the Yoshi games could really use another kind of iconic game, and I hope that this is it.
Yeah, it seems like it, because, I mean, while Yoshi's Woolly World was adorable, you know, it was very much a Kirby's Epic Yarn extension, whereas this one feels more deep because of the whole, like, actually flipping the world and how they're using the cardboard aesthetic. It seems very unique, which might have been why they took extra time with it, just to make sure that it was as solid as it could be.
Yeah.
Right. It's overall, I'm just kind of like really glad to see like Nintendo's really scheduling their releases for the beginning of the year right now. But I'm just kind of wondering what else is going to be coming up in the future. I mean, yeah, we got we just got an announcement of many different titles like Yoshi's Woolly World and other titles like Final Fantasy X and X-2 coming up in April.
Yeah.
Do
you guys not understand the point of letting me lead into these announcements today, just to say, because Tyler just dropped the Yoshi stuff, you just said Final Fantasy, we have an order to this thing,
it's a new 2019 new Nintendo Entertainment podcast, we free flow, we do what makes sense. I think Will should be commended for just seamlessly bringing us into the next topic.
You know what makes sense? Following the will of the host, which is me.
God, you're not my host.
Want to bet? Want to bet? I can mute you, dog. All right. So, as
The
Will
ratings will
unfortunately
plummet, though. The
spoiled.
ratings will plummet.
Oh, please. I am the ratings.
Power lies where the people believe it lies, Todd.
Says the guy who tried to convince the world that the Splatfests were rigged.
And not tried, Todd. Did. Succeeded.
Hashtag
They
fake
I
news.
forced Nintendo to redo how they did the Splatfest. I made them dive deeper into the analytics.
Keep dreaming, Tyler. Keep dreaming. All right. As Will had revealed, there was another big release date given. If you recall, during the September Nintendo Direct that Tyler mentioned a while back, Square Enix revealed through the Direct that four major Final Fantasy titles were coming to the Nintendo Switch: Final Fantasy X, X-2, 12 The Zodiac Age, which was the remaster, and Final Fantasy IX and VII. Not the remake, the original seven. So we have finally gotten release dates on 2/3 of them, depending on how you view it. Final Fantasy X/X2's remaster will be coming on Switch on April 16th, and the Zodiac Age for Final Fantasy 12 will be coming out on April 30th. So for you RPG fans who haven't gotten to play these games, there you go.
It's really nothing much else to say because like these games have been more or less been very revered in their own initial releases. I mean, I personally, for me, I still remember buying my PS3 the 10 and 10-2 HD on PS3 because of the great box art. I mean, now it's currently out on PS4 now as well. So if you haven't played it on their own native console, finally play it on the Nintendo Switch. I mean, playing Final Fantasy on a Switch is. Yeah, I would never thought I'd see be playing Final Fantasy on Nintendo once again. I mean, ever since back during the SNES days. Yeah, NES and the SNES days. So, Final Fantasy X, so the Zodiac Age. I mean, I've heard great things about the Zodiac Age remakes. So, yeah, I mean, those games are revered as classics.
Yeah, I actually remember getting, and this is one of the, I can say this is one of the few times I ever got a Final Fantasy game upon release, was I got Final Fantasy 12 on my PS2, and I actually got it on my birthday. I remember that for numerous reasons, some of which I won't say here, but I don't know if you guys are young enough to remember Circuit City.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, well, we had a Circuit City where I used to live, and so on my birthday they had a deal going on for the release of it, and there I got it, and it was I didn't beat the game. It got really hard at the end, but I got really far, and I was really engaged with the story. The graphics were really good, and I remember XPlay giving it a 5 out of 5. Rest in peace, you great show. It was big, and that was like honestly the last Final Fantasy game that I remember getting on release date. Like I got Final Fantasy VII on Steam because I wanted to try it out. I honestly stopped playing and I was kind of bored with it. I know, blasphemy. Yeah. Then I feel like I got another Final Fantasy game. I can't remember which. It wasn't 14 or 15 or any of the 13s, but I never, that was the one mainstream Final Fantasy game I remember getting, and I actually really liked it, so I might have to. And I've heard that the Zodiac Age was a great remaster. I mean, like, you always hear, like, oh, how good are the remasters, really? This is, like, apparently top-tier remastering. Like, they redid some of the gameplay elements, some of the power-up abilities, so I'm intrigued. And I was actually so influenced by this game. This is actually something I did. In the game, there are these creatures called Espers. So, I was
That's a
in high school.
Pokemon.
What?
That's a Pokemon.
No, Esper.
Yeah, Espeon, the Pokemon.
There is no Esper Pokemon.
Yeah, it evolves into Meowstic.
Huh.
Doesn't it? I'll find it.
You're
I
close.
know.
It's close to that, but it's not Esper. Esper. That's the name.
Yeah,
So.
so a Pokemon has Espurr, and I would pronounce that Espeon.
There's no P.
I was just being funny, Todd. I was just
Oh.
being funny.
I can't
Just
tell with you
continue with the
sometimes,
story.
okay? Sometimes I
It's
know you're
you were
dead
talking
serious.
about Pokemon, so I anyway,
Anyway.
Espeon is a Pokemon,
No, it's
everybody,
not.
just so you know. It
Anyway,
is,
so
but
there was a monster, like a monster spirits called Espers, and so Esper, and I kid you not, when I was in Spanish class, I had this friend of mine, and her Spanish name was Esperanza. And so I just called her Esper because I liked the game so much. And that was literally like, even when we were out of Spanish class, I would just say, "Hey, Esper."
I think Meowstic would have been a better name. We should have called her Meowsk.
Now that's not funny. That's not even funny. That's
yeah, it's pretty good. It was
no,
pretty
it's
funny.
not. No, it's not. Anyway, so like I, again, I really like that game. I've never played Ten or Ten 2, but I've seen that cutscene, obviously. So, and Auron was in Kingdom Hearts 2, so I had to do some research on him. But I'm intrigued. Maybe we can see if Square Enix will send us some review codes. You never know. But again, that's now March taken care of. That's a couple big games in April. That's good. I mean, now we just need that Fire Emblem release date. Please, Nintendo. We need it. I need it.
Hey, don't
Seriously.
forget, Mortal Kombat also comes out that month.
Oh yeah. So there you go. That's huge. That's huge. Let's just go right into that. So if you don't remember, the game Mortal Kombat 11 was announced at the Game Awards 2018, and they announced that a community reveal event will happen next week on the 17th. And during a chat with one of their fans, NetherRealm revealed that there will be some big character reveals at the community event next week. It's going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific time. So, you fans out there, and Will, go ahead and make sure you pay attention to that. And so help me, Will, if I see you fanboying over a Mortal Kombat Smash Brothers announcement, you better not tell us I told you so, because that's not cool.
Who do you guys play in Mortal Kombat?
Oh man, it's been a while since I actually played that game, but if I remember back in the day, I really loved to use Curtis Stryker back in the day. I'm not sure
Oh,
he's
that's a good
alive.
pick.
I'm not sure he was alive in the Olympic game. I can't remember, it's been so long, but yeah,
He
Curtis
wasn't in
Stryker.
10, but he was in 9.
Nine, I remember, yes. So yeah, Curtis Stryker, and yeah, I mean, of course, Liu Kang and Kung Lao's always been been the
Yeah,
Shotos
Kong's
of the
classic.
games. Yeah,
I'm a big
but
Katana fan. I always like Sonya as well, but I'm a Katana guy.
classic.
I killed with her in Mortal Kombat 9 and 10 to a lesser extent, but mostly 9. Oh gosh, she was so fun.
I've always liked Raiden. I
Yeah,
mean, there was
Raiden's
just
dope.
something about Raiden that was just always appealing. I don't know if it was his look, his electricity powers, or something like that, but it was just he was a lot of fun, and so I just enjoyed him a lot. So I honestly can say I don't think I've ever or owned a Mortal Kombat game.
Really?
No, I
Oh,
my babysitter. Here's a funny story. My babysitter once had to watch over me and me alone, and so she got me to play Mortal Kombat. And her mother, who was home at the time, walked into the room and saw me playing Mortal Kombat, and she goes, "Heather, is it okay for him to play this game?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, Mom, it's not that bad." And then I press a button, and I shoot a guy up into the ceiling, which just so happens to have spikes in it, and of course he starts bleeding all over the floor. And I go, "Oh,
Yeah.
that's cool." So yeah, adventures of babysitting, everybody. But no, I personally have never seen or I have never owned a Mortal Kombat game. I have played them for various reasons, including a college project where I used Mortal Kombat as a studying tool. Because I can, and but that's about it. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll get. I'm pretty sure I won't get Mortal Kombat 11. That's not a slight on the game, but it's just it was never my franchise. I've never owned a Street Fighter game. I've played them a lot, but I've never owned one. I've never owned Mortal Kombat, King of Fighters, Tekken. Soul Calibur, I have a couple of them.
Soul
Obviously,
Calibur, I think, is like the it's probably the best like casual fun one.
yeah. So Soul Calibur just spoke to me for some weird reason. Maybe it was because I like Nightmare. I don't know. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm the bad guy? I don't know.
I was gonna say that's not a, I would never pin you down for a nightmare guy.
I was Nightmare diehard. I loved the look. I loved the sword. I love his voice. It was fun. And so I played him for a while, and then you know, obviously the I got out of the series after three because that's when they added like Star Wars characters, and I'm like, really? So memories. But hey, for all you Mortal Kombat fans, if you're gonna get this game, power to you. Just run a community event next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. So, Will, I expect you to cover that since you're so hype.
It'll be interesting to say the least. I know that like the crew of Maximilian Dude is gonna be watching it because they really want can't we really want information on Mortal Kombat 11, but mostly like, it's just that hay fever dream of perhaps Mortal Kombat being represented in Smash, which is I mean would be nuts, but it would be interesting.
I just
So
don't
who knows?
see it.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm being honest with you, Will. I just don't see it. Okay, Bayonetta made sense because the fans voted for her. Snake made sense because Kojima personally asked Sakurai to put Snake in Smash Brothers. And even then, even
What a
Sakurai knew.
mistake that was, to God, I hate fighting
Oh, stop.
stop.
But like even Sakurai noted that having Bayonetta in the game was difficult because of her what do we want to call it?
Assets.
Yeah, I was gonna go sensuality, but yeah, that works too. Her many assets. And obviously they had to do certain things to make sure they didn't reveal too much, say the least. But yeah, I just don't see a Mortal Kombat because. Let's just say let's ballpark it here. There are only three characters that they could put into this game, okay? And that's Scorpion, Sub-Zero, or Raiden, because those are like the three main people that everyone really likes. Scorpion is a literal demon who is a skeleton underneath and likes to burn people alive. Sub-Zero likes to encase people in ice and shatter them. And then there's Raiden, who is now evil and likes to electrocute people. So, how would you show that in a final smash and not be gory?
I don't
Yeah.
know.
I mean,
I
they
feel
did it
like.
with Bayonetta, so.
But I mean, Bayonetta worked because they could stylize it like an anime. I
And
don't
don't
think.
forget, I agree with you. I
that
think there's a
Bayonetta summons
0% chance,
Gamora.
but.
Don't forget, Bayonetta summons Gamora, which is also literally a hair demon. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they played that up to a stylized degree, whereas. Mortal Kombat literally has fatalities. So, like, if they were to have a Final Smash, it would have to be a fatality, and because that's how their game works.
No. It doesn't always have to be fatalities. It can also be brutalities as well as
Right,
fatalities.
or
There's a lot of fatalities over
Beibalities.
there.
Yeah, or
Yes.
Beibal, or Animality. So, but
Yeah.
still, the problem that's the problem. Even if they go brutality, they have to do it in such a way to make it seem brutal, which goes outside the realm of a Smash Brothers game. I mean, they almost didn't get away with what Snake did with his rocket launcher, but they made it work because of how his moveset does and the whole, pulling away, getting the helicopter thing. So, they made that work, but I don't know. I don't think they could do that for a Mortal Kombat character. I just don't.
Again, it would be. I mean, it's just there's that. Again, some people are crazy enough to believe that I myself am. But you never know. Again, since through the Joker's appearance, it could be anything. But again, it most likely is crazy. But you never know. You never know.
I understand. It's your right to believe what you want, but just know that we'll mock you when you're wrong. Okay. Because that's
I
what
already
friends.
got my mocking in when Will said there was like an 80% chance that Travis Touchdown made the game. That was where I got my I Mortal Kombat, I'm done. That seems sensible to me after Travis
Oh
Touchdown.
gosh. Oh yeah, Travis Touchdown doesn't seem sensible, but Mortal Kombat, heck yeah.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
No, it's the percentage. It was the percentage chance. No, we were giving percentage. What are the odds? And you and Will both just way high on Travis
I said
Touchdown.
50%.
That was
I
such a bad answer. I am shocked by that answer.
And then when, but yeah, but then when they had that Travis Strikes Again special event, and they were saying, "Oh, we're gonna have a big announcement," all of us thought of a Smash Brothers, even you. And you were like,
No,
"I."
I was a little nervous because I've been talking so much
Will, you
smack
were
on you
so
guys for saying
nervous.
that if you guys were right, then I would have never lived it down.
All right. Well, we're still gonna wait. I mean, okay. Let's say right now. When are we getting the next Smash Brothers DLC character reveal? Give me a month.
I'm guessing
February.
it's got to be all each season at least, so at probably in March or even April.
Yeah, I agree with Will. That's about right.
Yeah, I agree. I would say March at the earliest. I mean, they could pull a feint and say, do it in like the first draft of the year, give it a month, but I
Because we
think.
have to get Piranha Plant and Joker still. Like, I think that all the
True.
Smash stuff in the whenever our first direct is will be a showcase of those two characters.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna agree with that. I'll say, yeah, March at the earliest because February is when we're getting Piranha Plant.
Oh,
You
did you
pro
guys register yet? Remember
I
to
did. I
register.
haven't gotten my code yet
It
though.
took me like a week and a half for my code to come through, so. But
Oh, I
check your
came through already. I
promotions folder.
registered already. Yeah, for my, I
Check your.
registered already.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I haven't.
If you're listening and you have registered but you don't have your code yet, check the promotions file if you do Gmail, because that's where I found mine.
Right. For me, I just it pops up on my Yahoo thing as well. So it should pop up once you immediately register. The email should be coming into your emails. Yes.
It's been weeks, so I don't know what happened to mine. I might have to do like a Mewtwo and call into Nintendo, but we'll see how it goes. So, because I checked my spam folders, I check your spam folders. I always check my emails from Nintendo. So I don't know, but we'll see. I will get you, Piranha Plant. I will, hopefully, possibly, yay. But yeah, so I think definitely March at the earliest. It also depends on when they announce when Joker is coming, because we
Right.
know that they're working on him now, and they didn't have anything to show for the Game Awards, but they're clearly, working on him right now, because Piranha Plant's basically done. So yeah, we'll just see, have to see how it goes.
You know they're
Man.
going to save a big one for E3 too.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely. So if we do the by the seasons, that would be the third DLC character.
Yeah.
So yeah, which would actually be decently spaced. So, we'll just see. All right. Next up, we got, ah, yes, we teased this earlier. Fire Emblem Heroes is finally bringing the Lagoos into the game. Hallelujah. It is happening tonight slash tomorrow, depending on where you live in the world. If you're list by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be out. And the first one is all Tellius Lagoos. We got Tibarn, King of the Hawks, Leanne and Raisin, the Prince and Princess of the Heron Tribe, which is very surprising. And then my queen, Nyla, Queen of Hitari. And yes, I'm apparently a furry. We were discussing this before the podcast. But yeah, we've been begging for the Lagoos to come. Not just us, but our dear friend Cromcho has been begging for Lagoos in Fire Emblem Heroes. And we knew about Tibarn because of the last Fae Channel, but now we got the Herons and Nyla. So, okay.
I gotta say, just like looking at the new units, like pretty much it does reflect the what reflects the source material. Like even in their beast forms, they don't hit as hard, but their stat wise is like holy moly, and the movements like four spaces last I checked, it's like holy moly,
Well, if you
yeah,
recall
like
in the
yeah.
Tellius series, the birds could move. Like, that was literally their strong suit. They were a little bit weaker, but they could move.
Tibarn didn't really have a weakness, though. He
No,
just was a
Tibarn was a
beast.
boss.
He was my favorite character. Like, Ike is my favorite character from there, but, like, outside of Ike, Tibarn is my favorite character. I love that guy. He's so cool. He is awesome.
Yeah, Tibarn is a boss. Tibarn was great in Path of Radiance. Here's how you know how great Tibarn is. All right, and this references the same game as Radiant Dawn. So there's this Lagoos war going on, and it's the Kingdom of Banyan versus the Lagoos Alliance, which is the Beast Tribe, the Ravens, and the Hawks, and of course the Herons were there too. They were fighting against Banyan. They were losing. They were retreating because of a series of unfortunate events, which I didn't like on Netflix, but that's besides the point. I had to get that dig in. That ending was terrible. But they're going through Crimea, which is the land of Alencia, who I still don't have, and she begs them to stop fighting and even exposes herself, goes away from her forces, lays down her sword, and says, I will stay here until you guys stop fighting. And Tibarn goes up to her and she goes, I thought you were the person on this planet with the biggest amount of guts. And then he leaves. And it's like, okay, that's respect. And then my other favorite moment was when they were in the war with Daen, unbeknownst to them, they were being manipulated, but whatever. And to save the apostle, he grabs Soth, who's one of the main characters, and dangles him off of a cliff, saying, if you, they were about to roast the apostle alive. I kid you not. It was a very dark game. And he literally holds Soth, who is the boyfriend, lover, husband, person of Micaiah, my least favorite character. And he goes, if you don't stop this, I will drop him. And Micaiah yields, and he goes, okay. And he drops him anyway. And thankfully, one of his servants is...
No, Micaiah doesn't yield. Micaiah's like, no.
No, she yields. No, go back. She yields. Because the apostle got out alive. So she yielded, but he goes... I gotta teach you a lesson. So he drops Soth, but unbeknownst to her, one of his wards is Ulki is there to catch him. But yeah. She didn't know that at the time. So he's stone cold. That's Tibarn for you.
Yeah, no, Tibarn's the one I'm most excited for. Although I love Raisin too. Raisin is like, Tellius is such a good series. The characters are great, and I hate what Fire Emblem is becoming, and I hope that Three Houses turns it around, because I love that series, that game, those games so much. Raisin is like one of the coolest designed characters. His art is amazing, and he's like, the Herons are these super peaceful people. They don't fight at all, which I don't like in Heroes, that they do have an attack. I think they should come up with a creative way to make them really useful without being able to fight, because that's what they don't fight. But Raisin's like, he almost gives in to the dark side until Tibarn talks him down. But he's such a raw character. He looks so angry in his portrait because he has every right to be. I love Raisin. Raisin and Tibarn both A-plus characters. It's just a shame that Fire Emblem Heroes is still such a mediocre to bad game. There's just no new content. Like, these characters are cool, but I don't have a reason to want it. Like, the game modes are just not that exciting anymore, and it's a shame that the only way to experience the characters again is in an underwhelming game.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I only really play it to summon characters that I care about and all that. I mean, like with the Azura legendary character, I tried one time to get her. I waited for the first blue 5-star I got, then I told myself I would stop, and sure enough, I got Fjorm, and I'm like, I'm done. And so then I found out Tibarn was coming, and I started saving up orbs, and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally, here we are. Now I get them and Nyla, who's also awesome. So I've got 370 orbs saved up, and I will literally blow them all. I usually feel bad about blowing them all. I do not care. I am blowing it all. I have got to empty the entire orb vault. I've got $100 saved up. I'm kidding. I'm not spending any money. I'm not like some people on this podcast, but I have 370 orbs saved up. I am raring to go, and I'm waiting for 1 a.m. my time, because I'm on Central Time Zone, and to get them so I can start summoning and hopefully get both Tibarn and Nyla, because they're awesome. Ah, boy. I really hope that this is just the beginning, because we need to get Kynegis. We need to get, of course, I just blanked on his name. Who's the Raven King?
Oh, he's coming in a grand hero battle, Nissala.
Yeah, grand.
Nissala, also an awesome character. I love Nissala.
Yeah, he's such a great character. I mean, there's a reason why we had Tyler be Tellius Tyler, because we love the Tellius series. It's the best Fire Emblem games. I'm sorry.
The stories are so well told. Every character has great background. There's appropriate amounts of fan service without being obvious. Like, it's perfect. It's such a great series, and God, I want that back.
Yeah, I'm really hoping with that Three Houses we get that back, because it has the potential now to tell the great stories that we want.
And really, Echoes was amazing. Like,
Echoes was great.
Was so good. And that was the most recent Fire Emblem game. But Heroes is just kind of, I do think Heroes is starting to have a negative effect on perception of the series, because it's just been really just too much with the fan service, not enough with the innovation, not enough character storytelling. And Fates did the same thing. Like, there was a lot of great elements. The gameplay was so good, but just they fell flat with the character designs in an attempt to kind of push it closer towards a casual crowd, which is totally fine. I get you want to sell games, but
and did.
I mean, the Tele series didn't sell well, so I get it. It's just, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just hope that, Three Houses fulfills what the desire, the it's like I said in the Nintendo Draft last week, it needs to be a masterpiece. So
And
we shall see.
just for putting my two cents as well, it's like I can definitely understand why Fire Emblem Heroes is not really looked at as, I mean, especially since it doesn't pay tribute to the source material, of course, with the Ligus and all the characters in the game currently right now. Sure, I mean, if anything else, it's my hope that like intelligent systems definitely takes note, and especially the big amount of profit it's raking in, that perhaps, I don't know, perhaps a chance of like re-releasing it in for the Nintendo Switch in the coming years, hopefully. Maybe they finally have enough capital to invest a re-release in HD or of some sorts. I don't know. It's just as a guess of mine.
We'll just have to see. Let's have to see. All right, next up, a little bit of an odd piece of news from the head of Nintendo, Shintaro Furukawa. He did an interview with Nikki. Nikki, how do you say that name? Like Nikki, Naki, something like
Yeah, something about
that. And
them.
yeah, something like that. And he talked about the state of Nintendo and what the future really holds. And he goes, quote, "We aren't really fixated on our consoles. At the moment, we are offering the uniquely developed Nintendo Switch and its software, and that's what we're basing how we deliver the Nintendo experience on. That being said, technology changes. We'll continue to think flexibly about how to deliver that experience as time goes on," end quote. And this has got a lot of people kind of panicking because they're like, wait a minute, does this mean that, Nintendo is going to be stopping their console market?
It's, I mean, when you think about it in hindsight, I mean, naturally, it's not gonna be like forever. Nintendo is probably not. I mean, there is always a chance that Nintendo is definitely gonna probably like not gonna be focused on the console market anymore, given like the years. I mean, we don't know what's gonna happen in the next like 10 or 20 years down the road. Like, in my prediction is basically that as like many consoles, like the PS4, Xbox, and including the Switch itself, like, a lot of people say like the game, like the system itself is trying to go act like a PC. I mean, I know our boss Keith said like so many systems are just trying to become the PC. Like there's really no point of a console anymore. But at the same time, Nintendo kind of proves that there is a reason why you should have a console, because like, then it's just games are meant for fun. And I would love to have a hardware that just is dedicated for console experiences. I mean, sure, PC is PC. You can play anything you want on it, but there's just some sort of validity of why you should have like a console in your home. I mean, sure. I mean, it's really hard to say to really explain, really. But in hindsight, I
I
just
think
say
it
that,
really
yeah.
it's a big multiplayer thing. Local multiplayer is, I mean, I guess you could do that with the PC, but it's so much more engaging to have everybody gathered around the big screen TV to enjoy that. That's how I that's I you could rig your PC to your TV and have it work that way, but it's just it feels so natural to gather around a console like that.
Yeah, personally, I don't think that they're going to stop making consoles. I think they'll focus for now at least on keep making better versions of the Switch, not like Wii to Wii U kind of thing, but a hopefully even better version, whatever that may be. The Switch is killing it for them, and they're wanting to advance that. They try to do that with the Wii U and fail, but now they know to really strike out, and people are resonating with it. I mean, I can't wait to hear the quarter results for last 3 months and the end of 2018 to see where we're at with console sales and software sales, because they're big. I mean, it's got to be between 25 to 27 million right now. So, it's going to be big. And I don't see Nintendo stepping away from consoles. A person pointed this out to me in that Furukawa actually doesn't have a background in video games. He has one in business.
Yes.
And so that actually gives him this kind of a unique perspective on things. And I'm sure that is what is speaking to him, is this notion that I don't have to think of this as a game thing. I have to think of this as a business thing, and what's best for business. Well, right now, what's best for business is a Switch. So the question now is, how do you make that? How do you do even better than that next time?
Yeah,
So,
it seemed very much like a hypothetical,
yeah.
where he was basically in a world where these aren't selling anymore, we would change our tact. But I'm not concerned that the Switch will be the last Nintendo home console or anything like that. I think that we're definitely, especially because they always are innovating. And the Switch is, it fills a niche that a PC can't. So if Nintendo continues to put new ideas out there that kind of change how we experience games, there's always going to be room for that.
Yeah, and trust me, if they didn't go out after the Wii U, they're not going out after the Switch. I mean, come on.
Right.
So, I mean, they had the out. They had the out because, okay, we're done making consoles. Nope, here's the Switch. Oh, Nintendo, we love you again. Why did we ever doubt you? Well, you know why. But yeah, we're gonna be good here. So, just don't take. He's taking it, like Tyler says, a hypothetical. He's acknowledging the fact that the world is changing. So, don't panic just yet. Wait, like a year or two, okay? All right. Speaking of waiting, Metroid Prime 4. Yeah, we believe, though we could be wrong, that it's coming out in 2019. And a leak from here, I want to quote this directly. A Czech retailer called Super Gamer decided to show off, take a snapshot and show off the release date, quote unquote, for Metroid Prime 4. And according to this site, it's going to be on November 29th of this year. Yeah, can you tell how excited we are for this?
As far as concerned, yeah, I'm not gonna believe anything that's gonna be put out right now. Again, nothing is true, everything is permitted, and as far as concerned, yeah, I'm not believing this. Nope.
Yeah, after everything we've gone through in the last 6 months with a certain Grinch leak and everything, I'm with,
That's the
well,
thing about this one. It's so specific. Like November 29th, like that is really a specific day. And I can't imagine a year out. The game's not close to done. Nintendo has no idea if it's going to be ready to November 29th or earlier. Like I am highly skeptical, but I do think it comes out this year.
yeah.
I mean, that's a safe bet to say the least, but again, unless we hear from the horse's mouth itself, I'm not believing Jack squat,
Oh,
honestly.
yeah. Considering that all we've gotten so far is a freaking teaser trailer with just the logo. We don't even know how Samus looks in this game so far. I mean, that's how far off we are from a release date in my mind. I mean, yes, I'd like it to be a 2019 title. I would even be fine with it, them pulling a Xenoblade or Smash Brothers and releasing it in December just to cap off a great year, as long as they've had the time to make it great. But yeah, it's specific, but we looked it up. It's literally the last Friday of November, so maybe they just plopped it on there because it's right before the quote unquote holiday season or something like that. I don't know. But we've seen stuff like this before. Sure, some of it is true. Like I remember South Park Stick Truth and Fractured But Whole. Those were leaked on certain similar sites, and that turned out to be true. So, there is that. But for a game like this, I highly doubt Nintendo would have given out the release date to a Czech retailer. Where are we? 9 months ahead of time. So no, I'm gonna have to put this in the trash bin for now. I'll dust it off if I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. But if it does come out, are you guys thinking November, December?
Yeah, I do. I mean, honestly, it could be just November 29th. I still wouldn't think that this person knew that it was coming out on that day. I mean, it is a reasonable time frame. But yeah, no, I would think November, December for sure.
It's definitely likely at the end of the year, honestly. I mean, as much as I know people would love to have it earlier, it just seems right. I mean, again, what better way to cap off the year than with a big title? I mean, again, last year we had Smash Brothers, so why not another big title that people have been waiting for years? And that would be Metroid Prime 4 if he fits that bill, so yeah.
So, I mean, we can hope. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. We talk about that first Nintendo Direct of the year. One of my biggest hopes is that we get at least a teaser trailer. I'll accept a teaser trailer, not like a logo teaser, like a teaser trailer for Metroid Prime 4. Show me Samus. Show me Samus in glorious, glorious HD outside of Smash Brothers,
I
obviously.
was gonna say when we play Smash Bros, I'll show you Samus
Yeah,
in
she's
glorious,
HD's
glorious
HD. I know. I
HD.
know. I
The
mean, and Dark
three
Samus
stock
looks really
time.
good.
It's
I
gonna
mean.
be a three stock.
Yeah, so well, it's just we just have to hope. You just have to hope for the best. So, moving on to Will's favorite game coming up. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes. Suda51, who's continuing to promote the game, has noted that he would actually be up for Travis Strikes Again to be its own series, as in like a spin-off series that continues long after. He goes, I quote, "I think it would be great if TSA could turn into its own series, sort of a parallel to No More Heroes. The great thing also is that the stories within TSA has a lot of direct connections to what will be No More Heroes 3. So if it does get created, what happens in TSA will end up being important to the next installment." So, yeah, he's continuing to push that he wants to make No More Heroes 3, and, you know, if he decides to make, you know, Travis Strikes Again 2 to lead into No More Heroes 4, you never know.
Making Travis Strikes Again as a spin-off series for the franchise, I mean, it's definitely going to be very unheard of from Suda51, because, knowing him, again, he doesn't make sequels. I mean, No More Heroes was definitely a very rare occasion for him to make a sequel. So, Killer 7, one of his revered titles, he didn't make a sequel for that one, because that is a classic title. And then there's, Shadows of the Dam, he did with Hideki Kamiya? No, not Hideki Kamiya, one of the creators of Resident Evil, I forgot. But,
Chainsaw.
He made all these games. He never makes sequels to those things. I mean, sure, there's reference to it, like Killer is Dead and all that, but he never makes sequels. So for him to really try to push for a sequel, especially for a spin-off title like Travis Strikes Again, it's... I mean, I'd be very happy for it, because, again, it also kind of bridges... Because, again, Travis Strikes Again is served as a bridge between No More Heroes 2 to 3, so... It's interesting, to say the least. I mean, for Suda51 to really go for this, it's very interesting.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. What else do we have? Oh, yes, Amiibo. We have Amiibo for Piranha Plant, King K. Rool, and Ice Climbers are up on the Nintendo UK store. Yeah, and each of them will be available on February 15th. So, if you're interested, I mean, if I was to get one of these three, it'd definitely be King K. Rool.
Oh, of course. King K. Rool is there.
Oh, I just had a notion. Think about it. If the Amiibo are confirmed for February 15th and Piranha Plant's not out yet, what if that's its release date? Kind of like what they did with Ridley and some of the other Amiibo characters, where they released them on the release dates of their, you know, inclusion into the game.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, inevitable. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. They could even release it after. That would be ridiculous, but it would be cool for sure. I mean, I hope it'd be earlier. Honestly, I do think if we get a January direct, I do think we will. I think it'll be and now go update Smash because Piranha Plant is here. It seems like that type of thing to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I'm still waiting for my code. All right. So, done with that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, been a very, very, very long time coming. I have been waiting and waiting for these two yutzes to beat Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild so we could talk about the ending. Tyler did it a year after. Will did it a few weeks ago. And, of course, I did it 2 weeks after the game released. So now we are finally going to be able to talk about it, break down everything about it, and talk about how we feel about it in a Nintendo discussion. Okay. To recap. Let's recap the entire game. No, I'm kidding. You wake up. Zelda's in trouble. We find out that she is the only thing keeping Calamity Ganon in what is left of Hyrule Castle. Champions are all dead. You revive their spirits so that they can go to the control the ancient beasts. Or wait, what do we call them again?
Divine beasts.
Divine beasts. Right, the divine beasts.
God, Todd, it's like you haven't played the game in 2 years.
In 2 years, yeah, pretty much. Well, actually, I did just try to start a second run through, but then I got pulled off because of some of the new releases, but whatever. But yeah, so the Divine Beasts, and we go to fight Ganon, But it's not exactly Ganon. It's Calamity Ganon. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Was the ending boss fight of Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild worth it? Because every single time we have faced Ganon in the past, we've always faced Ganondorf in some form or another, had an epic sword fighter duel or horseback riding
Since
fight.
Ocarina of Time.
Since Ocarina, but even before then, we had like the versions of, like the pig Ganon and everything, and
that's Ganon.
And Agamemnon
Yeah.
and all of them. So we've always had like, a lead up to like pig Ganon or whatever Ganon you want. Whereas this time we had Calamity Ganon, and then we had Beast Ganon. So we didn't have, Ganondorf Ganon, and they explain this that Zelda says, "Oh, he's ignoring his other form to go straight to the final battle." I'm like, "No, no, that's not what this is about, princess. I need to see Ganondorf. I've waited long enough."
I mean, I
Well,
was fine with it. Here's what was happening, right? And they didn't explain it very well. So Calamity Ganon is in Hyrule Castle trying to regenerate itself to be able to take form, and Zelda is preventing it from doing it. So it's in a cocoon. It's in a larvae state when we first see it. And it cuts off that regeneration when Link comes into Tuss, because that's why he's sort of like half formed and half blob, because he's not fully brought back. And I felt like I didn't quite get that at first until I like actually replayed it, and I was like, oh, I see what was happening here, because I was confused as to why he looked the way he did. But that explanation made a lot of sense to me. And I thought that that was kind of a cool way to go about doing it. So I was fine without having to fight Ganondorf.
I'm kind of in the same party as well. Like, when I first saw Ganondorf, or, I mean, yeah, Calamity Ganon for the first time, again, you kind of get to explain it that, again, he's just this form of malice. He doesn't have any, a particular form as well. I mean, yeah, like, again, I don't know where it's based on the timeline. Again, it's supposedly when the adult Link died. But basically, when he destroyed Hyrule, took over the Divine Beast, it's just, he's pretty much his bloody essence. Like, he's just all about rage, corruption, and like just taking over the town of Hyrule, just all this ink blob darkness, all that. And when you finally see him for the first time, he's just like a big machine mess blob of red and black. It's like, okay, so he's basically the form of malice and just all things darkness. He's not the usual Ganondorf form that we used to see, like in Twilight Princess, or with Mize as well. So I don't know. For me, I really didn't mind. I didn't mind. It's like a different take on Ganon. And it's not Ganondorf, it's Calamity Ganon, a separate form.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just we've been built it was building up to it at the end, and it's like, okay, here we go, final battle. And I mean, I was fully expecting, especially when the after everything that happened with the Divine Beast, I fully expected him to, start off as Calamity again, and sure, we could have a fight with that thing, and then for whatever reason, we like knock the sense back into him, and then the blob just starts to form, and then Ganondorf just slowly emanates with the sword and that smug look that we've all waited for the entire game. And no, it's just like, oh no, we're not gonna get that fight, and we're gonna go straight into Beast Ganon, who I had no problems with at all but defeating. And I don't know, it just felt kind of let down, because we fought, like the corrupted forms of Calamity in the four divine beasts, and we had basically the same kind of boss fight in the first half, and then, oh no, hey, you gotta go fight Beast Ganon now. I'm like, I want Ganondorf. Oh no, we didn't want to do that this time. It just felt wrong to me. And I know there was explanations by the team. I could look it up, but I just don't care.
Well, again, this is the game that kind of breaks Zelda tradition, so I guess maybe that's kind of what they're going for, maybe. I don't
I
know.
mean, yeah.
I don't mind them breaking the box, but parts of the box don't need to be destroyed. I mean, that's why you have Labo, so you can use the rest of the box.
Calamity Ganon was way the final part where you're on horseback was way too easy. Like, that was way too easy. And I don't think there's any denying that. It wasn't overly satisfying. But the regular fight, the first part reminded me of Wind Waker in a lot of ways. You're in a dark dungeon area, and I like that. I like the Divine Beast when they do their big laser blast. Although honestly, it did half of his life. Like, he was pretty easy anyway. I feel like it was a waste of time to free all the Divine Beasts. Like, you really didn't need to do that to have an easy time with the boss. He wasn't that hard. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, like, difficulty kind of issue, the first part of the fight was really good. Ganon was super weird and intimidating. I like it.
Yes.
It just didn't feel the same to me. And ironically, I reviewed the game right before I went to Ganon. I think I had found all the Divine Beasts in up when I hit my 2 weeks and I needed to get the review out. And I was affected because if I had played the final boss, if I had played the final boss before my review, I know that I would have lowered my score a little bit, because I honestly felt that ending outside of the cutscene at the end where Epona shows up, underwhelming. It was parts of it were too easy, especially like Tyler said, when we had Calamity Ganon already down to half health. I had all my ancient arrows, I had everything loaded up, I had all the hearts and the Master Sword, the Hylian Shield. I was ready, and then Beast Ganon was totally easy. I mean, that's not the point of Beast Ganon. I mean, that's why I wanted my duel with Ganondorf. I loved the battles with Ganondorf in Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. They were so satisfying. We got to see a Toon Kid stab a guy in the head. Okay? I mean, that was just boss. And then, of course, impaling Ganondorf into the ground of the plains of Hyrule and Twilight Princess was legendary. But I wanted that moment. I waited, like, what, 40 hours? You know, all the side quests and everything to and all the Divine Beasts and all the shrines and getting the Master Sword with all my hearts and everything. It was like, really? After all of that, we had like this really kind of cheap boss fight. I mean, I don't know. I almost wish we made this a boss fight segment, because I would reveal to you the best Ganondorf boss fights. So
yeah, this would not be on there. I mean, for sure, it wasn't an unbelievably well done boss. I don't think any of them were. That was one of the weaknesses of Breath of the Wild. None of the bosses were that compelling, especially after you got the Master Sword. It was just a whack them and they're going to die kind of situation.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, I thought that the rest of the ending was pretty beautiful as well. I loved Zelda's, you know, return and the four champions finally getting to rest along with the king after Mifa. All of that. Yeah, the build up to, you get to really see how King, oh my gosh, Daphne, I forget his name. Yeah, the king of Hyrule.
It's a ridiculous name.
King of Hyrule was kind of put Zelda under so much stress and just kind of made her life miserable. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he got to see, you know, her return and, you know, be at peace, which was great. Plus the zoom in. I'm a big silent princess sucker. When they zoom in on the flower at the end, that was great.
Ah, the silent princess.
That's the thing. Is like, I know that Zelda, the Breath of the Wild, sometimes gets flack because of its more fragmented storyline with the memories and everything. But that's what I loved about it, because we got that, like, that scene where we got to see the king scold Zelda about her love of technology versus, you know, the role she was supposed to play and how that affected her relationship with Link, or lack thereof. And then it was only through trying to save Link that her powers came to be, which was a great moment. And of course, that epic scene where he's the Master Sword is like almost shattered. Like, we never even thought that was possible, but they made us believe that it could happen here. And Zelda saving the day, then, you know, putting him into the shrine with the healing waters and all of that. You know, that was great stuff. And I intentionally made sure I got every single memory before I went to face Ganon, because I was ready to stab him right in the heart, and I couldn't. You had one job, Nintendo. Let me stab Ganon.
Yeah, I like the light arrows. You always have to use the light arrows. So I was cool with having to defeat the giant beast with the light arrows.
Okay, but I mean, that's a convention. I mean, that they say, oh, we're trying to break convention here. You had the same thing again. Light arrows.
Well, I mean, the light arrows themselves is tradition. I mean, that's kind of one that you gotta keep.
Ocarina of Times, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker. I'm pretty sure Skyward Sword had the same thing, because that's where it all started.
Usually Zelda's the one wielding the bow. And they did, actually, there weren't light arrows to defeat Demise.
Yeah, that's right. We had to defeat Demise on our own.
You should know that. That's your game.
Wait, no, that's not my game.
That's your favorite Zelda, or one of your favorite Zelda games.
No, I said that was one of my favorite boss fights, but Twilight Princess is now and forever my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. In which we had to use light arrows.
You always troll me because I don't love Skyward Sword.
No, I mean, I thought I didn't understand why you didn't like it at all. I mean, that was honestly just curiosity. I wasn't making fun of you because a lot of people say that Skyward Sword was the next Ocarina of Time, and you know, you were like vehement in saying that it wasn't. That's all I was trying to get to understand.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I could troll you if you want me to. You know, I could be like Fee and calculate the odds of you being wrong all the time. You know? So no, it's just I don't know. It's just the game was so great, and I would still give it a 4.5 out of 5 easily. But you know, after all that build up of all the characters and hearing about the danger and evil of Calamity Ganon and how you know we have to stop him, get the Divine Beast back, free the Guardians who all should die a painful death. Beep, 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 beep. No, I'm not. I'm out of the range of my claw. Why? Oh, that music. How many memes were made about those guardians? I mean, seriously.
A lot.
So many.
I mean, just get the fact that you hear that song. I mean, that musical cue when you hear those guardians, or just that laser itself just beating, homing on you. It's like, oh my god, that is the sound of death. That is the sound of death.
And then you're expected to beat one like right at the beginning of the game when you have like no weapons to defeat it. It's like, why? Why are you doing this?
And that is
this
before
stupid?
You know how to parry those shots. It's like, holy moly. Yeah, so. And yeah, I'm just also, I'm not sure you read the diary as well, but apparently, like Link, when he was starting, he actually parried a shot with a wooden shield.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure you read that part in the diary.
I did.
But yeah, it's. So, but yeah, like, also putting my two cents is just that, yeah, like, there's a lot of things that about that ending is just also I hear people that's kind of like it's all yeah as I said it's very great but at the same time also fragmented it's like or lack thereof because a lot of people kind of describe that ending as like a void ending like there was nothing I mean nothing to really like hint out what happens after like is Artie gonna rebuild Hyrule is Princess finally letting go and doing her own stuff with Link like yeah it's like. There's nothing. It's really up to the player's imagination what they're gonna do next.
Well, I mean, the way I interpreted it was that you know she's gonna rebuild it, but in the right way, to where they don't continue the cycle that they did because that's what doomed them the last time, because they relied too much on the Guardians and then Calamity Ganon took them over. So that she's clearly gonna rebuild, and she now trusts Link to help her do that, and now she's gonna make a better kingdom where you know. Roles and destiny aren't exactly the same thing, so that's how I interpreted it. So, but and I felt there was plenty of room for a sequel, especially if they get a special message from Termina.
Yes.
Just saying, bring back Majora's Mask 2, baby.
One last thing about the boss, though, you have to remember we say it was too easy, and it was, but it was easy because you had they wanted you to be able to walk into Hyrule Castle right away and beat the game. Given the open-ended nature of it, like you could have sure got the Master Sword, gotten superpower and all that, or you could make it really hard on yourself and go in there with 3 hearts and the stuff you found laying around Hyrule Castle and
fight.
And
some
way.
People did that and won.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just the reason I loved Twilight Princess was because all this time we hated Xant. We hated Xan for what he did to Midna. You know, he transformed us into a wolf, which I would actually say is an improvement. I'm just saying.
Right, and the plot of the usurper. Yes, the
yeah,
plot
and
of the
like,
usurper.
And then all of a sudden we hear like, oh, I was given the powers by a demon. And we're like, oh, okay, he's talking about Ganon. He's going to be in the game too, obviously. So we beat Xan. Ganon comes out. Midna sacrifices herself to save us. You know,
and
he had
she
that
just gets wrecked.
Yeah, she gets wrecked with the Forbidden Shout. That epic scene of him on the horse crushing the Forbidden Shadow reminds me of Darkseid from DC Comics, long story. But then we fight him, you know, in beast form with the portals, and then you know on horseback. Then the sword duel, which was so boss, and then impale him to the ground. He's screaming to his death, and that is so satisfying. I'm a sadist. I just realized I am a sadist. Dang.
Well, again, like nothing can describe basically compare to the coolness factor of a sword fight. I mean, again,
Yes.
two enemies, light and dark, versus again crossing swords. I mean, that is the epitome of like of badassness right there.
Yeah, that's why that's another reason I love Fire Emblem, because most of the bad guy leaders have swords. And of course, Ike versus Black Knight is always epic. Actually,
Oh yeah,
Revised. Path of
that's
Radiance is epic. Radiant Dawn is actually let down, but whatever. But it's just like I was waiting for that moment. I wanted to see how they reinterpreted, and apparently they were thinking about it. Like I remember reading an article that they were thinking about having a Breath of the Wild version of Ganondorf, and then they just decided to scrap it to keep Calamity Ganon. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why? You improved Link, you improved Zelda, you improved, some of the other races, created new races, created a massively open high world, and you don't give us the villain that we all love to hate? Come on.
I mean, it would be nice to like again see also like memories. I mean, I would love to see like I don't know if they. I know they won't have any more DLCs, but I would all love to see like a memory of like how Calamity Ganon came to be like an origin story. Because again, he did originate from the Gerudo Valleys. Like, why not put an extra memory in the Gerudo Desert to see like how he came to be? Like, what was his form? He was the
Yeah.
only male Gerudo in the
Yeah.
desert.
I
So,
tease
and
it,
how he
dang it.
came.
See, and now I'm
Yeah, like.
conflicted because I'm like, if we do go to Termina, like let's just say for Breath of the Wild 2, I don't want Ganon in Termina. That's not his land. He's always after Hyrule. Keep him in Hyrule. And so then if he just randomly shows up, it's like, oh, this is what you wanted. No, it's not what I wanted. I wanted that in the original game, dang it. So, I don't know. And now, like, I remember recently they were saying that they refused to confirm where Breath of the Wild is in the timeline, even though it's clearly like one of the more quote unquote recent games in terms of storyline.
They just put it at the bottom of all three. They were like, all three timelines lead to this one. Wait, the timeline, it's just the stupidest thing and it shouldn't exist. Although I guess like it kind of makes sense that it was so far after the other games because the technology element, I don't really, I can't think of technology in other Zelda games, but still, I so dumb.
And obviously there's that scene where she's like knighting him and she's referencing all the other
Yeah.
games, like
Ah,
that when Twilight Falls with the rise of the Skyward Sword or in perilous time of ages or seasons or something like that, and it's just like, oh wow, that's referencing all the other games, it's just clearly after everything. So
Right.
I
And
don't know.
especially that the Spirit of the Sword, which Fi, I mean, especially hearing that, like, that note when Fi comes out of your sword, like, ah, Fi, I miss you, I guess.
Yeah. Fi, why? Minna's better. watch it, you. I will fight for my Minna. That's what we need. We need Twilight Princess too. We need Minna back. Alright.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, like that was a lot of people will want us to go to Twilight Princess. Yeah, that would be a great idea. Like going back to the lands of Twilight Princess, that would be something. I mean, yeah. Oh, going back to Twilight Princess, going to also see like the Yetis again. I mean, yeah, I really actually like the
You
Yetis.
want to talk about depressing endings? Talk about Twilight Princess, where Midna's tear shatters the mirror and we can't see her again. No! Why? And then
Right. I mean,
the
there's a
love the lovely line, "What's wrong, Link? Am I so beautiful that you forgot how to talk?"
yeah, like all these games, like Zelda games, are definitely so open to like another sequel to the game. I mean, and we well, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess. Hell, I mean, I'm surprised to say even Skyward Sword probably has an opportunity to actually be like that. Like apply the Breath of the Wild treatment to those games. So I don't know. It's that's definitely an idea, if you ask me.
All the more reason for Nintendo to hire us. I'll take the Twilight Princess sequel. Will can take Skyward Sword, and Tyler can take whatever one he wants. What
Sounds
sequel?
good.
What sequel would you want? Like from a
Yeah,
game?
yeah,
What
yeah.
one would you want?
From any Zelda game?
Any Zelda game.
A Link Between Worlds.
I like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, A
I
Link
like that.
Between
That'd be
Worlds.
fun.
I think that would be a really good thing on the Switch specifically too. But I loved the aesthetic of that game. The Hilda, the Dark World theme, that whole thing was great. So I'd love to see that again.
I like that. I like that. All right. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you a very important question.
Did.
What is the most important thing for Nintendo's success in 2019? 12% of you voted for Todd's first round pick in the Nintendo Draft, Fire Emblem being amazing. 25% of you voted for better online. 35% of you voted for a new Mario or Zelda game, and 28% of you voted for a huge E3, and we had 51 total votes on that.
Yeah, that was huge for us. I mean, that's one of our biggest polls ever. And again, we don't know how this happens. We're just like, hey, we here's the tags, people vote. Sometimes we get 20, sometimes we get 50, sometimes we get 95. But hey, I'm grateful, and it seems fitting that they would think, Mario or Zelda to lead the way.
Yeah.
So of the options we gave them anyway.
Right. Yeah, somebody tweeted at us mentioning Pokemon, which was definitely a huge miss in our draft. Nobody mentioned anything about Pokemon, and I had thought about it a few times, like, nah, I don't want to talk about a specific game again. But Pokemon is also a really good, really, really good
Yes,
point.
it was. It, we could have easily mentioned it, but it was already kind of out there. Whereas, we could have said the same thing, like, Metroid Prime 4 needs to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like they really can't screw up Metroid now because people are excited about it again, especially with how Samus Returns was. So, it's one of those things where we don't know exactly what to expect from the Pokemon core tile, so it's kind of weird to speculate about it.
And yeah, well,
So.
the thing too is Pokemon, I would say Fire Emblem being amazing is actually a better pick because Pokemon doesn't have to be amazing for it to sell well. Just look at Let's Go. Like, a
Yeah.
lot of people like that game, but I don't think anybody accused it of being amazing.
I thought it
And
was
yet
good,
it
not
still sold
great.
super well. So Pokemon, even if it's just like a, nah, this was like the eighth best Pokemon game, people are still gonna buy it in droves.
Yeah. So, all right. This week's poll. Let's keep it Ganon related in order in honor of our one of our favorite Nintendo villains. What Zelda game? What legend? Hashtag what legend is what? Blah, blah, blah. What hashtag Legend of Zelda game had the best Ganon boss fight? Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, or Breath of the Wild? Really curious to see how this one goes.
I mean, if anything else, if my take is obviously I gotta go with Wind Waker on that one because like you have Zelda fighting alongside you. I mean, she's like two little kids facing up against a full-fledged adult, if you ask me. I like that one.
I liked Twilight Princess because Zelda was with you on horseback, helping you, do their thing, and then at the end you just got to seriously impale the guy. So, works for me. What about you, Tyler? Of those four, which one's your favorite?
I agree. I'm a Wind Waker guy. I think Wind Waker's final boss is one of my it's one of the best ever. I always say this about it. I love how overmatched Link seems in that fight because he's so young and like you could just keep hacking at him forever and you can't knock Ganon out. You have to hit him with that one final blow. And I think it's a masterpiece of a boss fight.
Fair enough. So, of course, let us know your thoughts on which your boss fight was your favorite. What did you think of Breath of the Wild's ending as a whole? Did you like the boss fight with Calamity Ganon? Did you think it was too easy? What would you hope they do better in the next one? Do let us know. And of course, are you getting the Final Fantasy games when they come out in Switch in April? Are you getting Yoshi's Crafted World? Are you eagerly waiting for the Lagoos in Fire Emblem Heroes? What do you think about the future of Nintendo consoles? And when is the next Nintendo Direct coming? Do let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.